Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I would like to start off by saying thank you for being here today, especially the youth. It means so much to me that y'all are here, especially on Palm Sunday. Which, like, no pressure, right? The story of Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, was the Jews' version and cultural understanding of what God's love and promise to them was supposed to look like. The Jews believed God would manifest his love through civil and political change, through the breaking of physical chains. And when that donkey didn't stop at the Capitol building down on Monroe Street for Jesus to overthrow those who were oppressing them, they felt gypped and ultimately turned away and against God. They refused to trust in his promises and believe what he told them. And therefore, because he wasn't the triumphant warrior they wanted him to be, Jesus wasn't enough for them. Surely, their plan was better. Our overarching theme for St. John's Youth this semester has been, "You are enough." That's a cute phrase, right? You've probably seen it on a t-shirt. It feels nice to hear. You are enough. But what does that actually mean for us? Is it really true? And if we really are enough, is Christ enough for us? I see this concept being challenged all the time. We are constantly striving for more or better, which inherently isn't a bad thing. But when we begin to decrease the font or even entirely erase our title as child of God, that's where we get into some trouble. When we find our identity in the perfect relationship, the leadership positions, the internships, landing the job, getting the grades, graduating from the college, even serving in the church, we lose sight of our true purpose and the path God has put us on and set ourselves up for disappointment. Putting all our eggs in the humanity basket is a bet we will always lose. I know this because a year and a half ago, I was finding my identity in all of these things. And I so badly wanted to be in control. I'll set the stage for you. It was fall semester of my senior year. I had just finished up the last of the career fairs for the semester at the University of Florida. I was president of two student organizations, an active member of countless others, senior warden of my church and Episcopal campus ministry. My resume was stacked. I was dating the guy. I had a handful of post-grad job offers and had just landed an interview for a communications position with one of the biggest software companies in the world. In the midst of this, I had also started the formal discernment process in my home diocese to explore what I believed to be a call to the priesthood. This was something that had been on my heart since I was 13 years old, but in my race for enoughness, thought a big kid flashy tech job would earn me the real life experience everyone kept telling me that I needed. Fast forward a couple months, I am frustrated with my church, single, heartbroken. I landed the job, but could not bring myself to get excited about it at all. My prayer life, which had once been consistent and powerful, was waning. Even going through the motions of the daily office, morning and evening prayer, a practice I started my first year of college, was a real challenge. For context, I grew up in the church. Specifically, the Episcopal Church was strung through my DNA. Both of my uncles are Episcopal priests. My aunt is the director of Christian formation at my home parish in Sarasota. My mom is the Altar Guild Sunday school teacher extraordinaire. And my life was deeply rooted and grounded in the church. I grew up singing in the choir, serving as an acolyte, being a mentor to the younger girls in my youth group. At 13, I had a, oh my gosh, is anyone else seeing this moment during the Holy Eucharist? And my life was never the same. By the age of 14, I landed my first job in the church as a paid section leader in the choir. I developed a love for scripture and a rhythm of prayer from an early age and was lucky enough to have a youth minister that gave me the tools and language to help me foster that joy and allowed me space to be with and to listen to God. As I got older, there was more noise, more opinions, and more of my own ambition to worry about. My friends and peers were also my competitors. And even though I thought I knew my ultimate path, joined in on the rat race anyway, because they were all doing it for something in the end, right? I had all the service hours, all the extracurriculars, always had two jobs throughout high school. I got into my dream school. Sure, there were some bumps in the road, but I ultimately found my best friends through my faith community. I was seemingly excelling in all aspects of my personal and academic life. Everything was falling into place exactly as I had imagined. Until it didn't. In preparing for this talk, I was flipping through some of my old journals and found something that I wrote down early on in my college career. It said, "You are going to make plans. God is going to wreck those plans. You will thank him for it later." That's really good advice. I wish I had remembered it back then. I had a plan. I had set it all up. Do you see the problem with what I just said? Me. It was me focused, not God focused. It wasn't until God brought me to my knees, to my lowest, that I fully understood that I had forgotten God. I worked hard and achieved things, but forgot about the one who gave me the ability to do such things. Instead of continuing to walk side by side with my Savior and Creator, I was chasing enoughness. Because I had forgotten that through his death 2,000 years ago on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter Sunday, I was justified, sanctified, and made enough. The truth is, me by myself will actually never be enough. Even if I had the perfect relationship, the flashy tech job, all the honor courts, it simply wouldn't be enough because enoughness is not something to be obtained. Put differently, the grace of God, which passes all understanding, is not something we can earn, but something that is freely given to each of us. It was at that point when I asked God to take complete control, and after some detours, discerned a call to youth ministry. And ended up here in Tallahassee, a town where I maybe knew three people. This season has been one of the hardest seasons of my life. but it has also been the most joyful. And I attribute that joy to the work God is doing in each of our young people and the love and grace shown to me by their parents, Mother Abby, Kate Kyle, Mandy Schnicker, the entire St. John staff, and other parishioners and friends. You all are my daily reminder of the eternal reality that is at work. You all are my favorite teammates on Team Jesus. And when we're on Team Jesus, we cannot lose because he's already won. My prayer for each of us is that while we fully live in the amazing lives God has given us, we do not forget God. Let's make sure that while we go for that leadership position or try to attain that scholarship to that school, we are not doing it for ourselves, but as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus saved each of us from eternal death and gifted each of us eternal life. While eternity is such a hard thing to grasp, it is our reality. The best way for each of us to thank Jesus for his plan coming together, hear me when I say that, his plan, is to bring him into all that we do. Bring him into our relationships, into our friendships, into our families, into our job offers, our lacrosse games, our swim meets, our college essays and acceptances. Invite Jesus into every aspect. That's where faith and life intersect. When we dedicate our lives to God, we will not always get what we want, but we will be living in an eternal context. And, speaking from experience, we'll live fuller and more joy-filled lives than we could have ever imagined for ourselves, rooted in a theology of abundance. When we allow ourselves to live fully, presently, without expectation and without fear, we become living reflections of God's plan coming to fruition.